This is...
Well, here we are.
Felger.
What?
And Mass.
The whole team suck.
Felger and Mass.
Maybe your part in the back is a little bit loose.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
If they go to seven, Boston's going to win. I think whoever wins game tomorrow is going to win that series, whether it's Boston or Cleveland. Cleveland is not going to win game seven back in Boston. I thought this was a pick'em series before it started. I like I said last week, if Cleveland win the next two, it's back to ground, to level ground. But I think whoever wins tomorrow will win the series. I'm with Kenny on this. I got the Celtics in seven.
That's Barkley on TNT. Quickly, before I go to the phones, do you agree with that?
Do I? Did
Meaning he says the winner of the game tonight is winning the series.
Only if it's Cleveland. I'm not convinced that Cleveland's coming in here to win Game 7.
You mean they can't?
I'm not convinced that they can't win Game 7 here in Boston. But I don't think the Celtics are going to win Game 6 in Cleveland. I don't.
Yeah, I'm with Maz on this. I mean, I think this is huge. This is the series tonight.
Okay.
So, do you agree with him?
Nope, I don't. I think that while I've bitched and moaned, and this has been a home court series to this point, and I hate those in the NBA, and it frustrates me to no end, I'm still holding out hope that the trend gets broken here and that these road teams can win. In other words, we should not be surprised at all if LeBron James comes in here and wins. That wouldn't surprise me. And it wouldn't surprise me one bit if the Celtics go to Cleveland, play a close game, and Brad Stevens pulls something out at the very end against a dumb, poorly coached Cleveland team. That wouldn't surprise me one bit either. So I do not think this is the series tonight. I am holding out hope that some road teams are going to start to win and bring some real uncertainty into this thing. The worst result to me is if it just goes rote, and that is Cleveland comes in here, gets behind, mails it in, says we'll get him in Game 6. Then they go to Cleveland for Game 6. The Celtics get behind, they mail it in, say we'll get him in Game 7. And it's all just foreplay. It's all just pleasuring yourself.
It's last year's series against the Bullets.
It's the term I want to use, I can't exactly use. till we get to Game 7. You know what I mean?
Sure.
It's like just playing with yourself till we get to Game 7. And it's like, I hate that. I hate NBA series like that. Like, throw some into, like, that result last night in Golden State, brilliant. You couldn't have predicted Houston would pull that thing out. They're down 12 points in the fourth quarter to start, and they win that group of gutless idiots in Houston?
No, it was stunning, too, and I don't know how much you watch, but there was a run where the Warriors were just hitting three after three after three after three, and it was an assault, and Houston was able to sustain and hang
okay,
in that game. And win. It was shocking.
So now we have some uncertainty over there. Yeah. Someone showed some balls. It's like, great. I'm holding out hope it happens in this series. I'm holding out hope. So, we'll see. I'm not convinced that this is a series tonight. Long story short. So, your thoughts on that and Brady. We'll go back to the phones, Maz, unless you have another thought. Here's Mike in New Bedford. Hi, Mike.
How you doing, guys?
Good, Mike. What do you got?
Well, I called you guys the other day, and I spoke to you guys. I told you what was going to happen, and then you guys hung up on me. First of all, Cleveland will win tonight. LeBron has found the answer. The answer is to find out the various mismatches during the game and isolating and taking advantage of all the mismatches that worked in the last two games. That's going to work tonight. I don't know what Brad Stevens is going to do to counteract that, but my personal feeling is Cleveland will win in six.
Okay, Michael, thank you for the call. You actually agree with him that LeBron might have figured it out.
I do. I think he started to see it in games 3 and 4. And as the series has gone on, I think LeBron has been able to decipher how to, you know, solve the Stevens riddle. And we'll see how it goes here tonight. It would not kill me to see Smart on LeBron and not switch.
Right.
Wouldn't kill me. So this is sort of where I say, is this Stevens just throwing his hands up and saying, well, you know, there's nothing more I can do? Because watching Terry Rozier switch off of LeBron and try to run to an opposite corner to cover a three in Cleveland got really tired. That act got tired. If they do that, I don't know. I suppose there's every chance Korver will miss shots. But I'll take my chance with Korver. If I'm Cleveland, I'll take my chance with Korver making them.
Billy in Lakeville on the Tom Brady story. Yes, Billy.
How you doing? First of all, hey, how you guys doing? Hey, first of all, I mean, this basketball, it's just playground basketball what they're playing. I mean, Celtics don't have a shot. And as far as Murray, I just want to tell you one thing. I don't know why you're taking Garoppolo aside for. He must give you, fish oil for your head or something like that or something that's going on because, and also, I just think that wouldn't.
Well, let me stop you right there, Billy. Why do you continue to take Brady's side, not Garoppolo? I think you meant Brady.
Because he's the more important of the two. And that was proven in Super Bowl 52 to me. And I think he's right to be a little upset about something so petty about having his trainer, who I get is a bit of a pain in the ass and has undermined the operation here. But if it's just to help Brady and help him work out the way that he wants.
Is he hurting the team by being away this week?
No, I don't. I don't think that it's going to matter at all.
Is he helping?
No, he's not helping, especially some of these new guys. I'm sure that Jordan Matthews or Sonny Michel, some of these other guys would like to
get acclimated
with the new quarterback.
By definition, if you're not helping, you're...
They'll figure it out. They always do.
They do?
They do. They did last year. This whole thing was going on since basically like before the season.
No. But new receivers always figure it out?
Oh, well, no. No, absolutely not. No.
That's my question.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure someone is going to... But that's on them. You got to put in the extra time. Go to Montana. When he hangs out with Edelman and Gronk and has his little side thing in Montana in a couple of months or at some point this summer, you book that flight. You get your ass out there and work out with him.
Well, I'm more worried about the coach and the quarterback still fighting over this thing, at least from the quarterback standpoint, and that sort of sitting there under the surface all the time when the season starts.
Looks like a few people agree with Jim Murray. Go ahead, Jim and Natick.
Yes. I think Brady has a right to be upset, and the reason why is everything becomes personal, and the reason why is this. He was almost traded, never made the press, but he was almost traded to the Texans during the offseason last year. And I think that's why Brady's upset. It has nothing to do with the trainer.
Okay, so I'm okay with Brady being pissed. I think it's bad form for him to miss this week. Even if you're pissed, you're the quarterback, it's part of your job. It's super important for you and the whole team to be there. So you should be there whether you're pissed or not. But it's even worse than for him to skip and the owner to say, well, it's okay, he's got kids and a business. And there's a lot of football, so he needs to find time for his kids and his business. While the coach is saying, I really need you there, I want you there, the owner says, no, it's actually voluntary. That's the worst part. That's today's topic. Joe and Revere, go, Joe.
What's going on, Mike? So you two other guys are sitting there going back and forth with all this. It comes down to one thing to break it down for you. He was there last year at OTAs. He did his summer workouts with the boyfriends in Montana. He did everything. And he put all that work in on the very last game. It doesn't matter whether it was for the Super Bowl or it was for the Cotton Bowl. The very last game, the coach decided to drop his pants and show us how big it is compared to doing his job. So Brady this year is saying, you know what, I'm going to drop my pants and show you guys how big it is, and this is what I'm going to do. And number two.
Here, can I just stop on number one? Do you agree with that?
No, because, like, look, I blame Belichick for what he did with Malcolm Butler in the Super Bowl. I do. So now, is this what we want? We want the Patriots to deteriorate into some sort of thing? Well, you screwed up so I can screw up? I just think that that's stupid. The whole point of them being who they are is that they keep going and they stay focused and they move forward. And more important than anything else is that Brady buys in. That's the whole reason the thing works.
So this whole time, though, by saying that, you think that this was going to, when this ends, you think it's always going all going to end clean, and they were all going to end
I never, off I never, sunset. I never said that. I never ever said that.
I did.
I didn't.
I thought this was going to be different here.
I didn't.
I did.
I said when it ends.
Everything in life falls apart. It all ends terribly.
I thought it was going to end well. But this would be the one place that broke the
mold.
But
Murray, that still doesn't mean that Brady's doing the right thing.
No, he's not. He's being petty. And I'm for that. He should be petty at this point. He should.
Jim Murray endorses some well-placed and well-timed pettiness. He does.
I mean, look, it is a human response. I'll give you that. That you can look. I just thought that, I don't know, I thought Brady was a little bigger than that. I thought that Brady would be capable of saying, all right, you know, he's the coach. I got to respect sort of the hierarchy and the structure, and it is what it is. Like, I thought that he got that.
I thought they all
that's
did.
That's what people have been feeding down my throat for years.
To answer your question, Murray, I mean, they hadn't fallen into any of those trappings for 18 years when everyone else does. They didn't fall. They withstood all of those bad temptations and all of those trappings for 18 years. So I thought, well, you know what? They'll figure it out all the way to the end. And it turns into this? Ooh, I never thought it would happen. I never thought it would happen. Where Brady would miss an important week like this, Bill would be pissed, but the owner would come out and say, that's okay. It's voluntary. He's got business. Never thought that would happen, Murray. Never.
I think you might have had your head in the clouds, and you thought this was fantasy
life. I thought they were different. I bought in.
Real quick, we have an update of sorts on this mysterious Instagram post from
yes.
Tom Brady today. Jeff Howe, pretty trustworthy, right? Jeff Howe of The Athletic tweeted minutes ago, Brady's Instagram post was in reference to some of his business commitments that he's been fulfilling this week, which is part of what Robert Kraft mentioned this morning in Atlanta. As Kraft also noted, Brady and the Patriots have been in contact during the process.
So what does that mean? There's going to be a Brady cartoon?
So, yeah, DreamWorks, maybe. Yeah, that's what it is. It's an animation company out in L.A. Maybe it's going to be in a TB-12 animation of sorts. You know, you can get away with a hell of a lot more when you animate. People will suck that stuff up. They're like, oh, it's so cute.
Oh, well, that's fine. Oh, right, so he's doing a cartoon. Why didn't you say so? It's fine. Miss all the practices you need.
See, I think that's a bigger finger to Belichick. In the middle of camp?
I'm doing cartoons.
Yeah, DreamWorks. Here you go. Like, you guys be dumbasses and get out on the field. I get some other stuff I got to do. Like, I think it's a bigger finger to Belichick. I do.
Well, good. Let Alex travel with the team and be around again and work with me whatever the hell I want him to work. And until then, if it's still going to be a no, stubborn Belichick, I'll show up when I show up.
They just had, they now have a spoiled brat diva quarterback. That's what they have.
That the owner is basically endorsing. Entitling. The coach tries to keep everything on the rails, and the owner's entitling him. So, hey, there's a lot of football around here. Guy's got to do his business. Guy's got kids, and he's got now all these businesses. I mean, we ask a lot of them in the football field. So, you know, hey, it's voluntary. The worst part today's outrage, Murray, is that the owner is underwriting it. The owner is endorsing it and enabling it and undermining his coach in the process. That's today's outrage.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Jimmy has demoted him. He's no longer Coach Stevens. Jimmy's mad at Brad. So you think this one was on Stevens, Jimmy?
Yep, it's all on Brad. I hope Brad watched the film. We're calling him Brad today because he got out-coached. And also, Brad had no answer for George Hill. George friggin' Hill. Brad had no answers for.
No, Coach Stevens.
Someone doesn't want to go to game 5.
Or doesn't mind sitting in the 300s.
Just Brad, when it's not okay. And your coach like doo-doo, just Brad. LeBron had his way. And your coach like poo-poo, just Brad. When it's not okay. And you pissed off Chase too, just Brad.
Brad. Brad. Brad. Brad.
Just Brad.
It's Brad. Do better tonight, Brad.
All right, Jimmy Stewart, what do you want to see Brad do tonight?
I'd like to see him change up the lineup, add Baines to the lineup to try to neutralize Tristan Thompson against Al Horford. I'd like to see his substitutions be a little bit better on that second thing. I don't want to see Greg Monroe. I don't want to see Ubaldo at all hit the court this game.
Okay. So Baines for Marcus Morris.
Yes.
How does that get Thompson off of Horford? That's the part I don't get.
That's for him to figure out. That's just me to suggest and second guess later.
No, look, I hate to start blow sunshine up Dakota's skirt. The move is to put in Baines and send Tatum to the bench, because then what happens is that, you know, you have to match up big guys, and so, you know,
that Cleveland would be tempted to put Thompson on Baines,
correct?
Because Love on Baines would be a mismatch.
Correct. I mean, so you got to have.
If I'm Cleveland and I do that, I dare the Celtics to feed Aaron Baines.
I don't think he's as big of a negative offensively as some people think he does. And I know, look, it was an awful look that last game where he's like, where's the basket?
They had to point him to the basket.
Bad. But for what he brings defensively, and even in the last game, I don't think he played enough. In those 16 minutes on both ends of the floor, like, it felt like things were happening anytime he was around. So.
See, but the Cleveland will take that a million times over. You want to dump the ball into Baines? Have a blast. He's not going to beat us, and they're right. To me, I look more at the Rozier LeBron thing. That whole scatter switch thing with the Rozier switching off of LeBron to go run to the sidelines and corners to cover threes, it feels a little like overcoaching.
Like, that's what the rest of the NBA is doing right now, Tony. They're doing, I believe they call it a scramble play.
Yeah, a scatter switch, I think, but whatever it is. I'd let LeBron score. Give him twos all night. Let him score the twos. Game two proved LeBron can't beat you by himself. Games three and four, he got help and they won. So let LeBron get all the points he wants.
Okay, back to your thoughts. Kenny in Reading. Hi, Kenny.
Hi. You know how he mentioned Marcus Morris? Marcus Morris had 3,007 minutes, but my point is we need to win the first quarter, and that's about it. We got to attack. Yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, babe. I think that if you do that, there's a chance Cleveland says, well, we got him in game six at home. We'll just set up game seven. Don't overextend ourselves here. This ain't happening. We'll go back to Cleveland and get him and be in the exact same spot. So, yes, have at it. I think the shutdown factor remains on Cleveland. Even though they climb back in this series, I always hold out the shutdown factor for that team.
I find it stunning that they can get to playoff series and play it that way. The games are every other day. It's not like they're playing every night. It's
crazy, right? But you see it all the time in the course, don't you? Matt in Plymouth on Brady. Go ahead, Matt.
How's it going, guys? How's the Star Market Studio? Is it just like Nantucket there, Felger?
Oh, it is, man. Just like it.
So I believe there's two reasons why Brady's skipping out on OTAs, and please hear me out. I think one has to do with his performance in the Super Bowl, and then the other is Deflategate. He had a great Super Bowl, so if he had a really crappy one where he was throwing picks and didn't throw for as many yards, he would be such of a competitor that he wouldn't want to go out like that. And then the other one with Deflategate, I feel like Belichick kind of let him out high and dry, saying he all questions go to Brady for him. And then,
yeah, Matt, that was 4 years ago, and he showed up to every OTA since. So I think Deflategate's on the list of things that have driven him apart from the coach. Definitely. But how does he show up to four straight of those, and then on the fifth year says, I'm actually going to hold Deflategate against you and sit down and sit out? It's not what he's doing. Sorry. Dan in Quincy wants to weigh in. Hi, Daniel.
Yeah, maybe Brady needs to show up for these OTAs to work on his holding on to the football when he has a rusher coming at his face.
Thank you.
From his blind side, you know? And, you know, can we please dispense with the first names, Brad and Tom and Bill and Jasper started
Dan.
The whole first name thing. It's not even Devin McCourty with him. It's Dev. D-E-V. It's And Murray, is this channeling your, I think deep down inside this is kind of like the anarchistic way you'd like to have your superior subordinate relationship handled at your workplace.
It's true.
Okay.
Oh, no, everything's fine here, but do I have an authority issue? Oh, absolutely, and I have in the past.
Yeah,
and frankly, as a fan, I'm tired of Bill Belichick's chain of command, and everything I say, I always get it right. Yeah, how'd that work out well for you back in February when you bench a guy could have helped you in the second half defensively?
That's the way good coaches have been coaching in the NFL for years.
Exactly.
Okay, so and the year they went 11-5, and by the way, Brady hasn't just changed. This Brady's been this way for a while. Go back to 2014. The only reason it got suppressed because they won in 14. When they got rid of Mankins and Belichick benched his rear end, yes, he benched him. He was pissed, okay? And that's when this whole thing started to fall apart. It's called a superior subordinate relationship. That's the way you are in the workplace. And listen, what kind of an example does this set for Brady and the other players?
Oh, brutal. Just brutal. It's
horrible. It's unbelievable. And Murray. When they went 11-5 without Brady at Matt Castle, you said on this show, you said that they had enough talent to go 11-5. So you're saying if Belichick, so why don't just remove the coach and let the players coach themselves?
I'm not sure I ever said that. I hate that season. And look at it again. Any big game that they played, they lost in because Matt Castle sucks. 11-5 that year. Please. The Indianapolis game they blew. The game here in overtime they lost to the Jets.
Why are we going
Steelers.
Back 8 years?
I don't know. Because he always likes to bring up this stuff. Screw that year. I've never said that. They were good enough to make the playoffs or whatever it was.
I agree with him. Brady's a diva.
The coach is overrated.
Brady's a diva. He's
the more important piece.
So the 2014 thing, I mean, the Garoppolo thing's a big part of it. There's no quote. Maybe that's what really pushed it over the edge. They dropped the Deflategate in his lap, but the Garoppolo thing probably is really the issue.
So I don't begrudge Brady being pissed over something. Some things he has the right to be, Deflategate. Other things he doesn't. But when you're the starting quarterback, man, you got to show. You got to show. It's just it's too important of a position. It's starting to get to be an important time of year. And you're just, it's part of the job. You can't, when you're the quarterback, you're not allowed to miss for reasons that others would miss. And the Patriots have never allowed players to miss for these reasons. He's got businesses now? Never. Never have they endorsed that. In fact, if that's how you operate, if you don't show up to these camps and the reason you give is you have side businesses, you're pretty much not long for this team. So never mind that Brady's doing that. The owners then come out and saying it's okay. Oh, brutal look.
I mean, to me, really, I'll tell you, there's not often that I agree with Danny from Quincy on everything. But the superior-subordinate relationship?
We all got bosses, Tom, and Murray. We all got them.
I know.
We all work for the man.
He couldn't be more right. The fact that they would, the Patriots, Kraft, would give Brady power or leverage over Belichick to me, blows me away.
Oh, recipe for disaster.
Well, now he is equally important, if not more, than the man.
Okay.
So now he can dictate things.
But then you know what? They're going to fail. They're going
to
fail.
Now they'll still be 12-4 and probably go to the Super Bowl again,
okay,
even with all this this tumultuous nonsense going on behind the scenes.
Let's see, because when you have this type of fracture in there and something goes wrong, and it will, at some point something will go wrong, inevitably there will be finger pointing because one guy thinks he's bigger than the other guy.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Man, what a monster game that was by LeBron.
Which we've seen over and over again. Jaylen Brown gets in, flushes hard with the left hand. And on a night, LeBron James becomes the NBA's all-time leading scorer against the Boston Celtics. He drops 44, and the Eastern Conference Finals, once a best of seven, is now a best of three. Cavs get game four by a final of 111 to 102. The best of three begins Wednesday night in Boston.
All right, here we are, Wednesday night in Boston. Your thoughts, John and Quincy. Give me a Celtics take.
Yeah, I just want to talk about the road losses and why, you know, it really doesn't matter. Just to bring up the 2008 Celtics, they lost every road game until game two of the Eastern Conference Finals. They started the playoffs with six consecutive road losses. So, you know, it doesn't mean they can't go and win this.
Do you think that team and this team are similar?
No, I mean, they had more veterans, too.
Oh, you think?
And they still lost those road games.
Yeah, no, I know. But so you think that there's some sort of comparison there?
Well, you know, people freaking out about these road games, it really doesn't matter in the NBA. It's all about, you know, this home court advantage. And, you know, the fact that the 08 Celtics went and did that, you know, shows you that the road games...
Then let's just do everybody a favor and make a best of five series. Then, really,
because we're just wasting best of three.
Yeah, we're wasting.
How about just play one game at a neutral site?
Thank you.
I mean, seriously, let's play one game neutral site.
What I was driving at with that caller is it's easy to say they did that in 08 when you have Hall of Famers across the roster and veteran guys who had, if not been there, been knocking at the door, and Pierce and Garnett and Allen, never mind Doc, and I don't know to say that. I mean, what you're implying is that this team can do the exact same thing that team did, because, look, they struggled on the road, too. Well, I think what you're looking at is apples and oranges there. I think this team has road troubles for the reasons that are explainable. Young kids, you know, no superstars per se, all those things. That 08 team, I can't explain that. I mean, how did they lose in Atlanta three straight times in the first round? I have no clue. But I just want to compare those two teams. I don't think it's a fair comparison.
See, I just think that, you know, not to go back to that year, I think they lost early because they needed to figure out what the intensity level was going to require on the road. And because they were veterans, it happened quickly. These guys isn't going to happen that fast.
We've got Dante and Linfield on Kraft today. Go ahead, Dante.
I can't help but feel somewhat vindicated after our last conversation with his comments today. It's apparently clear that he is just at a different point in his life. There is no internal power struggle or anything like that. It's merely simply that, yeah, he's 41, maybe. I mean, as much as it bemoans Belichick, I think this is something that is kind of unanimously agreed upon. And the big thing that's getting missed in all of this...
Wait, so hold on. You're confusing me. Aside from Belichick, it's unanimously agreed upon? What do you mean, from Belichick, it's unanimously agreed upon?
I'm on board with it. I mean, obviously, he's not going to be thrilled about it. But, I mean...
No. So, aside from the coach of the team and the most important guy in the organization, arguably, it's unanimously agreed upon. I mean, are you listening to yourself?
I'm not sure where you see the contradiction, Mike.
To say that, other than Bill, everyone else is on the same page, is like saying, other than Murray and Maz, all three of us are in agreement.
Obviously, I think you'd prefer him there, but I don't think he's losing sleep over it. I mean, it's OTAs. Like,
hey, Dante.
This is a pumped-up story that means nothing.
Yeah, Dante, in the Super Bowl, everyone was in agreement that Malcolm Butler should play, except for Bill.
I agree with you.
No, other than Bill, other than the CEO of the whole company, they're all on the same page. Like, you
know,
they're
on the same page. This is a propped up story that means nothing.
Okay, I disagree with you. I think it's a important story that speaks to some real issues down there that will eventually affect the product on the field. It just has to, and it will. And I don't know what to tell you. If you don't want to believe it, you don't have to believe it. That is your right. The issues are real, and the things that have happened this week are real. Where for 18 years we've been talking about the guys showing up this week and how important the offseason is, and Brady's been leading that charge, and we've supported him for it, and he blows it off, and the coach obviously isn't happy about it. But the owner comes out the next day and says that's voluntary. He's got businesses and kids, and he plays so much football. It's when is there time to do it? And you're okay with that? Give me a break.
See, I think there is. I think people just are blowing this off, like, you know, and not everybody. I mean, a lot of people have taken it seriously, but I think there is the very real chance, maybe even probable, that Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have played in their last Super Bowl together. I think that that's a very real possibility, because when they encounter some level of adversity, there are cracks in that relationship that are going to ultimately affect the team's ability to withstand pressure situations.
Gannon in Brookline has a Celtics thought. Hi, Gannon.
Hey, what's up, Matt? Listen, I am fully in agreement with you that you let LeBron score 65, 70 points and shut down the rest of the team. It's game over. Shut down the rest of the team. That's all you need to do.
Okay. I just don't know why I don't feel good about letting LeBron freight train me for 40 points. Like, I can't fully endorse that. Especially when, like, the way he scored in the second game, Maz, if he's shooting from deep and hitting threes, then I think you say, okay, we'll take that. But the way he scored the 40-something and then this last game where he was getting to the rim constantly, I think that opens things up for everybody else. That creates foul trouble, creates a whole world of problems that I don't think that I'm looking for that. I'm sorry.
Part of the reason it opens up is because you collapse and you try to help or you switch or all of that, and now there are guys open. So I'm just saying, let him get his points. So, someone's going to score them for Cleveland, so who cares if they all come from LeBron? I don't care where they come from. I don't care if he gets 70 if they lose. I think there's some truth to sort of that old Celtic philosophy of we'll let Jordan come in here and score 63, but he's going to lose the game. And so I think in a lot of ways it's the Celtics' best chance to win this series, and I think this series has borne that out. Cleveland won the games when their role players played well. And so LeBron got 42 in game two, but they lost. And I'd take the same approach if I'm the Celtics.
Pat in Londonderry. Hi, Pat.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
What do you got?
Hey, I got a take on this whole Brady issue. I kind of blame Robert Kraft for this whole mess, because I feel like he appeased his second son, Tommy, because Garoppolo was picking up a little steam and a lot of buzz, so Brady didn't want Garoppolo around, so he forced Belichick to trade him out. Now Brady has the upper hand, and he's kind of waving us the bird, like, hey, I'm going to do whatever I want to do.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah, Kraft empowered the quarterback. Brady now thinks that he doesn't have to answer to Bill as a result of it, and so now what you have is, him undercutting the coach.
Pretty much in a nutshell.
Yeah, he is. You can look. We all understand what Brady is here, but he's undermining the coach. Fact, he's undermining the coach.
And the owner endorses it. And the owner enables it and publicly endorses it this morning. That's what happened today. Rick in Melrose. Hi, Rick.
Hey, guys. And I'm not saying he's doing the right thing, but it's a little bit classic that Brady's taking a page out of Belichick's book, and he's doing it because he can, and it's to his advantage, right? And he's exploiting the rules as they exist. The difference is the team doesn't get to change the rules because they don't like it, you know? Eligible receiver or jumping over the center, you know? Like,
look, the Patriots, when it comes to contracts, will leverage their players every chance they get, and Bill will leverage his roster every chance that he gets. So can you blame Brady for when he finally decides and starts leveraging his way back, that he tries to carve that out for himself? On some level, I don't blame him. Today, I blame the owner and the coach not being on the same page, and the owner not standing behind the coach in wanting his players there this week. That's today's outrage, as I said earlier. Brady has some things to be pissed about, and if he's just playing the leverage game when he's been leveraged his whole career, I guess that was inevitable, right? I can understand that. Now, how do the Patriots respond to it all? That's bothered me. It bothers me that the owner continues to take the player's side because that never works. It just doesn't work, and it's not going to work.
That item in Greg Bedard's column yesterday that we read from Boston Sports Journal, that McDaniels was largely Kraft's decision and Belichick had nothing to do with it. And again, which I get, but again, I look at that as Brady. He's appeasing Brady. And so Kraft is making all these moves independent of what Bill thinks. And Belichick wanted McDaniels back too, I'm sure. It wasn't like he opposed it. But that was Kraft taking the lead and saying, no, we're going to keep this guy because A, Bill might walk out the door, and B, Tom wants him. And it might not have been in that order, A and B. It might have been A, Tom wants him, and B, if Bill walks out the door, I need a coach. He clearly decided his future was going to be Tom Brady and not Bill Belichick.
Chad and Peabody on the kneeling rule now in the league. Go ahead, Chad.
Hey, guys. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this. My buddy and I have been talking about this at length since it was announced, and he seems to think that they're still going to kneel anyway, that they're just going to say, you know what, you tell us we can't do it, and we're just going to come out there. And what happens? They don't get fined individually. The teams get fined.
That's right.
So I don't know whether or not the 15-yard penalty is still there, but if the teams, if the players all agree to do it, then the penalty should offset, and the only people that get fined are the owners that voted on this.
So you confuse me in there. There is no 15-yard penalty. I think they talked about it, but they aren't going to do a 15-yard penalty. They're going to fine the teams, not the players, which I think feels kind of smart because now they don't have to involve the union, or they think they don't have to involve the union. The union's still pissed. But if they're not directly disciplining the players, then the players have no recourse. They have no standing. They have no recourse. So we're not fining you. We're not disciplining you. We're disciplining your owner.
Puts the coaches in a tough spot, though, doesn't it?
Well, it puts the owners and the coaches in a tough spot. It does. But I think that's sort of an artful way to try and get it done. I don't know. I mean, the smartest thing I heard was it, and I'm stunned that Woody Johnson's brother, who now runs the team.
Yeah.
Because Woody is such a wing nut, you know. Remember Woody Johnson? I think he said, didn't he say in an interview that he would rather have Mitt Romney win the presidency than the Jets ever win a Super Bowl? He was asked during an election year.
I don't know.
I think it was the Romney year. It might have been the Trump year, but it was one of those election years where they asked Woody, what's more important to you, Romney winning the presidency or the Jets winning the Super Bowl? And he said Romney, which, I mean, that may be true, I guess, but if you're a fan of the Jets, how's that make you feel? You know. So, but I'm just trying to explain that's how arch a conservative that Woody Johnson is. That he would even answer the question. Like, you just would have to pass on that question, right, if you had half a brain.
If you had half a brain.
He would somehow not answer the question. But anyway, his brother now runs a team, said, any player that wants to kneel can, and I'll pay the fine. Which I think is just smart, you know, so you don't create this rift on your team where you're coming in there and saying, you fellas better stand or else. You know, instead you support your players and you get their back and deal with the ramifications. Like, that feels to me like a smart play.
Well, look, the players have the right of freedom of expression, right?
Legally, yes.
So you know, can the league even really deprive the players of doing it if they wanted to? I don't think they can.
Maybe not.
So, I just think now they're putting the coaches in a tough spot because the owner's going to say to the coach, get it sorted out. Like, it really does put it all on the coach.
If they had done nothing, would we even be talking about it to start next year? The thing was over. All right, final word comes your way next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So we'll start with this, with another big night at the plate for one Mookie Betts of the Red Sox. We didn't have much of a discussion about, whether or not he can keep it up. It's whether or not we can pronounce his name correctly, or if one guy can pronounce his name correctly. Let's hear some debate on how to pronounce Mookie Betts.
Another three-run shot for Mookie Betts.
Mookie? Is that how you say it?
I don't know.
I mean, everyone says it Mookie, except for one person that I know, and that's the man to my right.
How do you say it?
Mookie.
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 Who hit the ground ball through Buckner's legs?
Mookie Blaylock. No. Mookie, that's the
Mookie
basketball.
Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Blaylock was a...
Was a basketball player.
Basketball player that Pearl Jam was named after.
Right.
Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson.
Mookie Wilson. Okay, and if you go like Oreos and you buy chocolate chip...
Cookies.
Cookie, not cookies.
Okay, well, the
you don't buy cookies, do you?
The individual determines how his name is pronounced.
A first-year player is called a rookie, not a rookie.
thoughts on Mookie Betts, the win last night, or anything related to the Red? This is the Red Sox Minute.
So another pull home run for Mookie Betts.
Seriously.
That's just how he pronounces it. So, I mean, if you've drank too much and you get the spins, what do you get, Maz?
I don't know. Jason Tatum made the all-rookie team. That's all I know. Jason Tatum.
You get pukey. If you enter a haunted house, what would you call it?
Spooky.
Yeah. If I wanted to buy a Japanese motorcycle, do you have a brand that you might recommend to me?
Suzuki.
Thank you. All right.
Spelled differently, Mark.
Sounds the
jackass.
Same.
Jackass.
Mookie. Okay, so Tom Brady went to Instagram today, had a very odd post of him at training camp, even though he's not at these OTAs, obviously, and it didn't really say much. But I deciphered this damn thing.
Yes.
Now, I've already decoded this as far as
thank
a person.
Thank you. I needed decoding,
can.
Yes.
Now, the photo, he's on the practice field. But he's obviously not on the practice field. So, the photo, a direct middle finger to Bill Belichick. There's no debate there. The sparkle emoji, bunch of stars, to me reads as, well, I'm the shining star of this operation, and without me, you're nothing, Bill. You know that. And the fingers in the air emoji, which, back in the day, for you olds, that's a peace, man. But now... It's not peace, it's deuces. I'm out. I'm leaving the country. As reported by our own Scott Zolak and backed up by Mike Giardi of NBC Sports Boston, Brady's got other business. I'm leaving the country. Deuces in the air. I'll see you bitches in a couple of weeks. Now, the DreamWorks thing, I can't figure that out. It is an animation company located in California, so maybe that's where he's headed to do some business. Or maybe it's teamwork makes the DreamWorks. That I have to read into a little bit more. But the emojis in the photo, oh, I got it all figured out.
Mm-hmm. You olds. Or maybe it's just as simple the fact that Tom Brady's doing a deal with DreamWorks and the sparkles are the movie stars and all that other crap. And
yeah,
it's that
could
simple.
Be that too.
Yeah. It's good. Tom Brady's making movies.
Cartoons.
Movies. He's making movies.
Movies. Cartoons. Instead of working on the passing game.
DreamWorks is more than... Pixar is what I'm thinking of. DreamWorks is everything. Or is DreamWorks mostly cartoons?
No, DreamWorks mostly cartoons at this point.
They are, really?
Yeah. So maybe it's TV-12, the book in animation form.
Oh, that crap's coming, man.
Get a younger audience.
That's unbelievable.
Get ready. It's coming. Well, I'd much rather do that than actually practice football with his teammates. I totally understand that.
What do you need to practice for?
No, definitely.
Practice? talking about practice?
Said the owner of the team.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.